Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Monday, our official Memorial Day holiday all across the United States. A lot of people are out celebrating, I guess that's the word, celebrating with their families on picnics. A few people going to fireworks. Some people going to cemeteries to place flowers for their loved ones, veterans and others alike. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C. here tonight. Very much alive, thank God. Very much live and alive, and I emphasize alive, unlike so many of these American men and women who are dying in Iraq in a war that need not and should not be fought. So this is our Memorial Day. Many people have made it into a holiday for reasons other than honoring our war dead, but these people certainly do deserve to be honored for making a sacrifice, in some respects for their countries, in some respects for other countries, but needless to say, the motivations of those who joined our armed forces or who were otherwise drafted against their will sometimes into the armed forces, their motivations can't be questioned, because anybody who joins the military of their own volition, they generally do it for traditional patriotic reasons. And unfortunately, a lot of people who have died in our military, particularly in the last several years, have not really died for their country. They've died for something that some people will refer to as the New World Order. Some people might refer to it as Zionism. Some people might refer to it as corporate imperialism. But all in all, this most recent war in Iraq has not been a war for America, and I'm sorry if there's anyone out there who is offended by that, but that's the truth. In any case, one annual gathering here in Washington is worth mentioning and paying tribute to. They've been having it for years here in Washington. Motorcyclists have had a rally called Rolling Thunder, and it's probably one of the real last widespread large-sized groupings of people who are unabashed patriots in the classic sense of the word. They come here to Washington, bikers from all across the country and really all around the world, and they pay tribute to the veterans. And one other thing they do, which is very, very important, is that they seek an accounting for the American prisoners of war and the missing in action. And, for years and years and years, my old newspaper, The Spotlight, thanks to the great work of my colleague Mike Blair, The Spotlight published dozens and dozens, really hundreds of articles over some 25 years, highlighting facts about the missing in action and the POWs and how our government was not really doing anything to bring them home, and sometimes keeping the very fact of their existence, the fact that they were still alive being held captive in communist countries, our U.S. government was keeping that quiet. And, we took a lot of grief for bringing those stories out, but on the other hand, a lot of the POW and MI families were very proud of us for what we had done. So the Spotlight had no apologies for that, and neither do I. And as I say, it is kind of refreshing to hear all these loud motorcycles rolling through Washington, D.C., because, it's a sign that there is some sort of patriotism that still exists in this country, and it's very, very rare when you consider it, because this is not a country where patriotism is very fashionable anymore. So I guess we have to give credit where credit is due, particularly on this Memorial Day. Well, we're going to the break. When we come back, I'll have some further comments about some of our other situations, so to speak. And we'll be taking phone calls tonight. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington.
Can you you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Coming to you on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I am live here in Washington, D.C., just paying a brief tribute not only to the Americans in uniform who have died in Iraq and all our other wars, but really all of our loved ones who have passed on. This is kind of a day where we can look back at our friends and family who are no longer with us. I lost 2 very good friends and my mother during the past year and a half, so it's... This is one of those Memorial Days for me that's, I guess, the classic word is bittersweet. Well, here's something that's bitter but not sweet. Senator Richard Durbin of Illinois is encouraging his fellow Democratic Senator Barack Obama to run for president in 2008. Now, Mr. Obama is 44 years old. He was elected to the Senate in 2004. He was a state senator for 7 years prior to that. And then, of course, then when he spoke at the 2004 Democratic National Convention, he got the big hello from the mass media in America. And his colleague in the Senate, Mr. Durbin, told the Associated Press that Obama brings something special to politics. Durbin says, I think he has dramatic potential to unite this country, both red and blue. Well, now, I'm going to say some things about Barack Obama that are going to upset some people. Now, it's probably going to upset white people more than it's going to upset black people. But frankly, you know, if I were an African-American, if I were an American of African slave descent, as my friend Dr. Robert Brock refers to his fellow Americans who are generally known as black or Afro-Americans, if I were an American of African slave descent, I would be mad as hell that Barack Obama is getting this big promotion for the presidency. Now, Mr. Obama does happen to be a shade darker than most Americans, at least for now. And he also does happen to be of African descent, but he is not of African slave descent. You know, there have been these people here, African Americans, who've been here hundreds of years, you know, the people descended from slaves, and there are hundreds of African Americans, blacks, colored people, Negroes, whatever you want to call it. There are thousands of these people holding public office, sitting in the United States Congress, sitting big city mayors, state legislators, county commissioners, you name it. And now here's Mr. Richard Durbin, big shot Democratic U.S. Senator from Illinois, promoting Barack Obama, a guy who's only been on the political scene for a few years. His father happens to be, who he hasn't seen in 90 years, an African, and his mother's a white American. It just doesn't strike me that Barack Obama is representative of the African-American experience here in the United States. Now, I know there's a lot of our listeners out there who frankly, really don't care one way or another for having a black president or even a black U.S. senator, but, I mean, let's be fair and honest, folks. If we're going to have a black American president, it should certainly be someone who's been in public office for a long, long time, someone who is... who has really experienced what we'll call, sounding very politically correct and very liberal, the African-American experience. Barack Obama is a creation of the media. He's hardly more than a movie star. Frankly, there's a lot of blacks in Congress today, and I would even include the controversial Cynthia McKinney among them, who would make a far better candidate for president for both white people and black people. I'm tired of hearing about Barack Obama. What a joke. But, you know, folks, he's being promoted by the big media. And, of course, my producer Barbara reminds me that Oprah Winfrey, one of the richest women in the world, is a big Barack Obama fan. So, if Oprah says Barack Obama should be president, well, my goodness, maybe he will be. Speaking of promotions for the presidency, I'm attacking dynasties today, folks. I'm attacking the way the big media promotes people for the presidency. We have one Barry Castleman, whose column is published in the Washington Times, a neoconservative rag. And yes, indeed, it is a rag, a neoconservative rag here in Washington. And they have an article today about how John McCain of Arizona and Newt Gingrich have much to offer for the Republican Party. And then they go through a list of other potential future Republican presidential candidates now in the upcoming election and years beyond. And then they say that the Bush, two generations of Bushes, are waiting to take their place in the family dynasty. One of them is Governor Jeb Bush of Florida. And then the writer goes on to say, and his son, George P. Bush. Well, George P. Bush, the son of Governor Jeb Bush, doesn't even hold public office, folks. I think he's a lawyer. I think he's fresh out of law school. My guess is that he's probably no more than about 28 or 29 years old, maybe 30 at the most. He's never even run for public office. And yet here he's already being touted as a future candidate, and obviously it's implied as a possible president. Now, again, all right, this might make our white people happy out there. Now, although There's a lot of people who will say that George P. Bush is not white. His mother happens to be Colombian, I believe. So she's of at least some Spanish descent. But generally, the Bush family are looked upon as white people. I don't want to get into quibbling here with those who are interested in the subject of race. But in any case, there are millions of people out there the age of George P. Bush, and many, many millions younger, and many, many millions older, who are, I'm sure, perfectly qualified to be president of the United States, including a lot of people who are sitting in the United States Senate and the governorships and the state legislators and the county commissioners' offices, totally, thoroughly qualified people whose qualifications stem from their own personal abilities, their capacities in public office, and have nothing to do with the fact that their father is the governor of Florida or their uncle is president of the United States or the fact that their grandfather was president of the United States. I am real skeptical of political dynasties, ladies and gentlemen. People say, you know, people call it a tradition of public service and so forth. I'm not sure that's what it is. It strikes me more as a position of public thievery. I mean, you know, there have been some good political families in this country who've contributed a lot to this country. But then again, there's a lot of families who passed on congressional seats from father to son, from father to daughter. What about all the other people out there who want to serve in public office? Time to break up these dynasties, folks. Time to say next time someone's son wants to take his father's congressional seat or his daughter, say, sorry, you got to go out and earn a living and prove yourself first. Oh, forgive me for being nasty. And now I'm going to discuss that problem, that thing that worries everybody. It's a subject that no one wants to talk about, however, and that is the effort by the Zionist lobby to get the United States into a war against Iraq. And you know, Joschka Fischer, this German character, he was the foreign minister and vice chancellor of Germany. He writes in the Washington Post today, the talk about the effort by the United States to get involved in Iran, he says, it rings of a self-fulfilling prophecy. There is no guarantee that attempts to destroy Iran's nuclear potential and thus its capability for a nuclear breakout would succeed. Moreover, as a victim of foreign aggression, Iran's nuclear weapons ambitions would be fully legitimized. Finally, a military attack on Iran would mark the beginning of a regional and possibly global military and terrorist escalation, a nightmare for all concerned. Folks, that's why we discuss the problem of Zionism and the problem of the Israeli lobby here, because there's only one lobby and only one pressure group that wants a war against Iran, and that is Israel and what Pat Buchanan called its Amen lobby in America. And although I know it upsets people to hear the subject discussed, it will be discussed on this show as long as I am on this show, because I don't want to see the world blown up. And while it's quite fine and dandy to talk about the Illuminati and say the Illuminati is behind the war, the problem is your next-door neighbor doesn't know all about the Illuminati, but your next-door neighbor does know about Israel. And they can be educated about the power of the Israeli lobby in Washington and how your billions of your dollars and their dollars in taxes prop up this lobby that's trying to get us into a war on behalf of a foreign country. So, as I say, the problem of Israel is a very real problem, and it affects not only every American, but really everybody in the world. And it's a very, very scary thing because the push is on, and they do want us to go to war. And on this Memorial Day, I can't think of a better day to consider this problem and to consider the fact that we're already in Iraq because of the Israeli lobby, and now they want us to go to Iran. Good God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper. When we come back, we're going to start in with our callers, and we already have a caller, but you can call in too. It's 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Well, folks, this is the time when we start to begin to take our telephone calls. I do want to mention, though, next week and at least part of the week beyond, I take that back. It won't be next week, folks. Be the week, this week coming, Monday through Friday, I'm going to be here, but the week following, I will be absent, so I don't know right now if we're going to have a guest host here or what the situation will be, but as I've mentioned in the past, in passing, I will be over in Malaysia speaking at an international conference over there, and I'm pleased to say that two of the people who will be joining me at that conference, in fact, because I made the suggestion that they be there, will be William Rodriguez, the last man out of the World Trade Center, and his partner, Mr. Jimmy Walter, who's been active in the 911 Truth Movement. He's the millionaire philanthropist. I can't remember if he's from New York or California, but they've been working very closely together, and they are going to be there in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, with me speaking about their role in the 911 truth movement. And to the best of my knowledge, this will be the first time that an audience in Southeast Asia, particularly a major country such as Malaysia, will hear from people of this caliber, actually from anybody with an alternative point of view on the official 911 cover-up. So I'm very, very glad to say that I was able to make their appearance there a reality. It's going to be an interesting conference, and I'm confident that whoever sits in for me here will be doing a bang-up job. Okay, well, we do have a couple callers lined up, so let's get to them right now. We do have a break coming up, but we'll hold the caller over if necessary. Let's go to Edward in Ohio. Edward, come on up.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
How are you doing? You've been very patient.
Thank you. You set my call up pretty well, because I would like to talk about the Israeli attempt to attack Iraq. I'm sorry, Iran.
Yeah.
Although they were probably behind the Iraq attack.
Yeah.
But before I get into that, I'm sorry to hear about your losses. If I may ask, what did your mother die of?
Well, she was frankly murdered by her doctors. She was chemotherapy to death.
Oh.
And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Edward, because one night I'm going to I don't like to talk about health issues on the air, because it's like going into a restaurant and having someone talk about and listen to someone talk about their digestive problems. But I am going to come on the air one night and describe how my mother was murdered by chemotherapy and how my mother was murdered by a slick doctor makes a lot of kickbacks from referrals. But that's another story.
It's something that's happening to a lot of people.
Yes, exactly.
A similar thing happened to my sister. She died of cancer, Well, maybe the cancer didn't get her, but it was probably going to get her. But anyways, that's kind of...
Edward, my mother had lymphoma, but she did not die of lymphoma. But anyway,
okay.
I'll discuss that some other night. In fact, I already called the one doctor's office and invited him to come on the air with me. But, of course, I can't get through to him. But be that as it may. Anyway, Edward, go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to talk about this letter of May the 8th of 2006 that... I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, by Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
Yeah, the president of Iran. Yeah.
Right, that he sent to George Walker Bush, the president of the United States. And I've got about 21 talking points, which we probably don't have time to talk about. But what I would like to do, if you'll allow me maybe 3 to 4 minutes, is go over them briefly.
Please do.
Thank you. This is to give people in your listening audience an idea as to what is in this letter. And hopefully they will, you know, call up on the Internet and read this. This is a document that I think people ought to read. I don't agree with all of it, but I agree with much of it.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Liberalism. I think he meant freedom. I can get back to that, but I'm just going to try to go over these real fast and maybe make some brief comments. Weapons of mass destruction and the destruction of Iraq. That's an interesting thing there. He stated, now he sounds like an American here. He sounds like a guy in the cheering section for George Bush, because he stated that Saddam Hussein was a murderous dictator. And then an editorial note, were the people happy or unhappy about Saddam Hussein's toppling? Can destruction by America be consistent with Christ's teachings of peace? Mr. Ahmadinejad said that people couldn't find a country named Israel 60 years ago. My brief comment on that is, in the scriptures, there was a country named Israel a few thousand years ago. Cost of founding the Israeli state, that's interesting. I'd have to probably look that up. That's on page 7 of this particular edition. He mentioned lies, and he expressed condolences for 9/11. Point number 10 is he talked about, Michael, that the media is to report honestly. He talked about truth, and in here he talked about perhaps a hint of accountability to God. Would you like me to stay on the line?
Yeah, please do, Edward.
Okay.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper. We're going to a break here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, but stay tuned. We've got Edward from Ohio talking about the recent letter from the president of Iran to the president of the United States. Very interesting letter. A lot of people don't know about it. Stay tuned and you'll find out about it.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
Headline news, the much-anticipated bird flu pandemic. Whether you consider it dangerous or not makes no difference. It will still be the reason to confine and restrict travel. Conclusion, if we can't feed ourselves locked down at home, Homeland Security will be forced to bring us to gathering centers. Remember Katrina and the Superdome? The World War II bomb shelters in England. And the concentration camps throughout history. They were all huge disease incubators infesting confinees with dozens of life-threatening illnesses. Even if the wimpy little bird flu can't get you, the camps and the immunization will. If the government says store some non-perishable food, you know we'll need a lot. Decide how many years of food your family needs and get it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, bad food plans are life-threatening. Call the co-op at 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., which, of course, is the headquarters of American Free Press. If you're not reading American Free Press, you should be, because it's a newspaper that strives to bring you the facts that you don't get in any other published sources. So do check it out. Check out the website at AmericanFreePress.net. Or you can call the 800 number. It's actually an 888 number at the American Free Press office in Washington during weekdays, business hours. It's 888-699-NEWS. Get a sample copy. Now, before the break, we're talking to Edward here, who is commenting on the letter from the president of Iran to the president of the United States. And, you know, Edward, I made a slight mistake. I said a lot of people were not aware about the letter. I should take that back and say that people have heard about the letter,
yes,
but they haven't heard about the content of the letter.
Okay.
So you were giving us a real nice, it's a rather long letter, but you were giving us a nice synopsis of it, I thought. So please continue.
Yeah, I have one correction. I was saying that it was page 7 about the cost of the funding of the Israeli state. I'm sorry, that was talking point number 7. That was on page 2. If a person takes it off the Internet, and formats it to Times New Roman, puts that in 12-point type. It comes out to be about 8 to 9 pages. Okay. Point number 11, he talked about truth and perhaps a hint of accountability to God. Point number 12 is governments are paid taxes for governmental service to the taxpayers. He called Bush excellency. He was not disrespectful in this letter. He was very diplomatic. And I wrote this down for a reason. Maybe I'll get back to that. But I'm just going to kind of briefly going over these points. He put in Bush's mind that people in the future will judge today's rulers. What has America's war against Iraq done to serve American taxpayers? He was sorry to ask that if rather than spending money on military campaigns, it was spent beneficially, would there have been an ever-increasing global hatred of the American government? Asked if certain scriptural persons were here, like, I'm trying to think of what he said, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Ishmael, Joseph, and Jesus, if they were here today, how they would judge such behavior, in other words, what Bush has been doing in Iraq, and asked if they would accept us. He put in Bush's mind that the Lord knows what is happening and can reward accordingly. That can go both ways, you know, good or bad. Said that he was told that Bush follows the teachings of Jesus. He wasn't necessarily saying that he believes that, but that he was told that Bush follows the teachings of Jesus and believes that the righteous shall rule the earth. Said that rulers are answerable to those which they affect, and they're also answerable to the Almighty. And here was an afterthought. He talked about rational behavior and logic. Now, one of the reasons why I put that in was because I've gone over this letter several times. People have been talking about Ahmadinejad and just about every other ruler who has dared to disagree with the United States like they're mad or insane.
Right, exactly.
Did you ever notice that these foreign rulers somehow go crazy?
Yeah, well, that's the favorite technique of the American media. Anybody that crosses the powers that be is either insane now or on the verge of going insane. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like right before we attack them, they're crazy or something like that. Okay, I'm done with my talking points. Is there anything in particular you would like to talk about, or would you like to have your callers call in and say something? Or
well,
like
you know, actually, Edward, you know, it's very, very interesting. You know, I read that letter myself. In fact, we published an edited version for abbreviation purposes.
I read that.
In American Free Press. And actually, we have a complete printout of the letter. People want to write American Free Press and send a self-addressed stamped envelope and a nice contribution of a couple bucks just to help cover the costs. They can get it right from American Free Press, or if they're online, they can certainly get it online somewhere. But the point about it is that it is a very logical letter. There's nothing insane about his letter. However, when you read about it in the paper, it was dismissed as kind of a provocative letter. It was presented as the ravings of a madman.
Oh, it wasn't. It wasn't.
No. And, you know, I'll tell you what. Let me digress here for a moment because this is a story. I mean, if you'll bear with me, Edward, just give you an example. And I may have even mentioned this on the show the other night. But this goes to show you how the mass media will present a story about something that someone they don't like, something that that person has said. Now, back in, I don't even remember what year it was now, I think it was early 1987, the state treasurer of Pennsylvania, Bud Dwyer, blew his brains out at a press conference. He was getting ready to be sentenced to prison. He'd been convicted in a corruption case. And the press reported by the Associated Press all over the country. They ran pictures of him all over the world with blowing his brains out, and they report, and what reports they did have of any detail, they said he read a rambling statement. Well, you know, I was curious as to what this rambling statement was, and I contacted the press office at his office. Of course, he was no longer there, but I contacted the press office up there and got a copy of his statement. Before he killed himself, he issued a 20-page statement. And in that statement, he detailed, in devastating detail, how former Pennsylvania Governor Dick Thornburgh, who had turned into a rival of his, had connived with other people in the Justice Department to set Dwyer up on corruption charges and frame him so that Thornburg's associates wouldn't have to take the rap. And Dwyer was so bent out of shape about this and the fact that he was going to prison that he blew his brains out, and he hoped that by blowing his brains out it would bring attention to his story.
Oh.
But, of course, that's not how it worked. And I was the only person in the country who actually took the time to do a story about that statement. I interviewed his wife at length, and we ran several long pieces about it in the Spotlight newspaper at the time. But as I say, the significant part of this was that the way the press played it, they described it as a rambling statement. And as I say, it was anything but that. So bring us full circle here to this business about the president, the letter from the Iranian president. This is a letter that if the average American Christian read it, it would probably come as a surprise to them, because the average American Christian believes that the president of Iran is sitting over there in Tehran thinking about ways to blow up the world, and Christians in particular. And what, in fact, they would find, I think, in reading that letter is that the president of Iran is pretty favorably inclined toward Christians. But, of course...
I'm not sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, but, of course, not having the opportunity to read the letter, as you have, the average American Christian is not going to know that. All they're going to know is that the Israelis and people who like the Israelis here in the United States have decided that the president of Iran is a maniac who wants to blow up the world. So, that's my comment.
Well, I'll tell you how I found it. I typed in the word full or full text, Ahmadinejad Bush letter. I Googled that, and that's how I got it. And there's several versions of it. They're all about the same. It appears that it came out, and it was erroneous at first, and then there's been some slight revisions of it. Like American Free Press's War and Terror was probably from one of the earlier versions. The correct is War on Terror.
War on Terror. Yeah.
So the bracket thing about objection too ought to be deleted. Let's see. Now regarding liberalism, if the average American reads that, they're going to probably mistake it unless they look at the etymology of the word liberalism. This, I believe, has to do with liberty. It could be understood to be freedom.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's my comment on that. Now, I took a note on excellency, and I did it specifically for a reason. I didn't know what to look for. I mean, I didn't know what to expect when I was looking for this letter, and I saw a spoof and didn't know that I was looking at a spoof. I saw a spoof on the Internet, and according to the spoof, if I'm using that word correctly, they had Ahmadinejad ranting and raving and just calling President Bush these disgusting names and then saying, like, you know, so many words have been deleted here. No, no, no. It was nothing like that. He called Bush Excellency twice.
That's interesting.
Very diplomatic. Very diplomatic. He was not provocative, much if any, but it was shameful in the fact that the president of this country had to be told that he's accountable to God. This man that claims
to be
a Christian, or at least that's what I understand. I understand that President Bush claims to be a Christian. He is acting so far out of line from the scriptures that a Muslim had to tell this man in a polite yet a diplomatic way that he's accountable to God. And when someone said that to previous president, Clinton, when someone said that Bill Clinton has to give an account to God, that man was grilled. He was interrogated for saying such a thing.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if there's anything else you care to talk about.
No, that's Edward. I appreciate your call.
Okay.
Certainly, I think people need to check that out for themselves, and you certainly did it, so good for you. All right, I thank you for your call. Let's go to Mike from Maryland. Mike, come on up.
Yes, thank you. I just want to mention one thing about Barack Obama. I don't know if you mentioned this earlier, but do you think that maybe being a member of the Council of Foreign Relations might have opened up a couple doors for him?
Well, to tell you the truth, I didn't know that he was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. When did he become one?
I'm not sure when he became one, but I've heard this from a couple of different sources on mainstream media, and maybe I heard it from Alex Jones, too. But, yeah, I'm not 100% certain, but pretty close to it, that he is a He is a member of Council on Foreign Relations.
I'm interested to hear that because if he is now a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, it's highly unusual for a member of a state legislature, to be a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And I don't know exactly what Barack Obama was. Now, they may have made him a member of the Council on Foreign Relations since he was elected to the U.S. Senate, but my gut instinct tells me, now, I could be wrong about this, and I'm going to look forward to finding out whether he is or not, but my gut instinct tells me he's probably not, but I also add the word yet.
I don't know.
I just would be very surprised to find out that he's already a member of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Well, I think it's a recent phenomenon, if I'm not mistaken, and I've heard this from a couple of different reliable sources, but I can't mention, I can't remember on the hand who it was. But believe it or not, there's an actor that's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations.
And who is that?
Oh, God dang it.
Oh, I wish you could have told us.
I'm having a senior moment right now.
Okay.
I can't think. God dang it. It's got a Jewish sounding name.
It's not Ron Silver, is it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's it.
That could very well be. That could very well be that he is, because he's become a. He's become kind of a. Basically, what it is, the story on Ron Silver is he was always a liberal. And then when after 9/11, when the big push for the Zionists began to really intensify to move into the Republican Party, which Ron Silver is a hardline Zionist, that I believe is when he decided to be a Republican. So I'm not surprised that Ron Silver may well be the one. Incidentally, I'm just doing some checking here very quickly on the internet as we're talking, and I'm trying to find out information about Barack Obama, and I do find at least one report that he may have addressed the Council on Foreign Relations, but that doesn't make him necessarily a member per se. I'm real curious. When I get the chance, I'm going to do some in-depth research on it, but just because he addressed the Council on Foreign Relations doesn't make him a member. I mean, even Jesse Helms once addressed the Council on Foreign Relations. Of course, he did it at a time when he was going through the big flip-flop from being a nationalist into an internationalist. And while he never became a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, he certainly became a tool of the Council on Foreign Relations. So, you know, my feeling is that as far as membership in an organization like this, it doesn't always necessarily mean a heck of a lot, because there's a lot of people out there who've been carrying water very loyally for the Council on Foreign Relations for years, and they've never been members. They probably want to be members, but they never got to be members.
Well,
you know?
I could be mistaken, but I thought I heard from a couple of reliable sources that he was a member. But it looks like Afghanistan is about ready to go south. You know, they had an accident with an American convoy, and the president of Kabul, Karzai, you know, had to deal with this huge riot on hand, you know. I don't know if you heard about that.
No, I didn't. I was buried at the American Free Press office all day, had neither radio nor television to refer to, and came right here home, and now I'm on the radio, so I'm hearing about it for the first time from you.
Yeah, I mean, the whole city of Kabul is under curfew.
Incidentally, my producer Barbara, who's my second and third and fourth right arm, has done some checking. According to her research, doesn't appear as though Barack Obama is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, but he has, as I said, spoken to the Council on Foreign Relations.
Well, maybe I'm wrong then. Maybe I misunderstood, you know.
Well, people, you know, you may have heard it from somebody who didn't quite get the story quite right. You know what I mean? But like I say, you know, the membership issue is kind of, you know, it's kind of like a prestige thing for people to be invited to join the Council on Foreign Relations. I've never heard of anybody turning them down, but I do know there's a lot of people who would like to be invited and never get invited.
Well, do you think the people that are members of Council on Foreign Relations, do you think that they're coerced, or do you think that they receive talking points
You know, there's people that people get invited to talk to the. I mean, let's put it this way: if in the unlikely event I was invited to speak to the Council on Foreign Relations, you know, if they invited me to speak to them, I would go to them and tell them what I thought of them, but the thing is, they're not going to invite me to speak. So those that do speak, though, I think you're probably kind of on to something there. I think probably that some squirrely little guys with thick glasses who've never gotten any sun and who are hiding back in the stacks of libraries and think tanks writing speeches for Democrats and Republicans and liberals and conservatives alike in Congress, they probably do supply the approved line to a lot of these people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like most people who go before the Council on Foreign Relations are not going to go there and take a line that's going to upset the CFR because, hey, let's face it, they're powerful folks.
Sure.
All right, Mike, listen, thanks for your call. Always appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're rounding out the hour here, and we have another caller, Richard from Alabama, who's been hanging on very patiently. Stay tuned, and we'll see what Richard has to say. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free, but requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBM, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com, the store that invests its profits in your freedom.
Welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper. We're wrapping up the hour here. We have Richard in Alabama. Richard, what do you have to say?
I want to ask you a question about immigration.
Okay.
And it'll be tough, and you may not know it right away, but just research it and find out.
All right.
All right. A foreigner in Canada or Mexico wants to come to America.
Yeah.
So he calls up two friends in the United States, and he asks each of these friends to go to a notary. And each of them should fill out an affidavit stating that they knew this man when he was an infant, and he knew their parents, and knows that he was born in the USA.
Okay.
And mail the affidavits back to him, along with the telephone numbers of the two notaries. All right, he goes to the border crossing, and he says to the border guard, I was born in the USA, and here's my proof. Now, can they keep him out?
Well, you know what? My guess is that that's, I would, knowing how liberal in the classic, or I should say in the most devastating sense of what we know as liberalism, and knowing how our liberal laws are, they probably can't keep him out. They probably would welcome him with open arms.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, no, I don't know that for a fact. I'm guessing that that's probably how it works. It's probably that liberal. But I know when I tried to get a driver's license here in Washington, D.C., I had to have proof of U.S. citizenship. And I look pretty U.S. citizen-like, but I still had to have proof of U.S. citizenship. So I don't know.
Well, I have learned you don't need a birth certificate here. All you need is two affidavits to prove that you were born here.
Well, I tell you what, I'm not sure that's proof. It's just verified hearsay. because like I say, I took my passport to verify my U.S. citizenship.
Yeah.
So, let's face it, Richard, despite all the laws regarding citizenship and crossing the borders, we know what's happened. And now that we have millions of illegal aliens here, our rulers, or our misrulers, are doing everything they can to expand their numbers, at least in the view of many, many people who have informed opinions about that and whose opinions I respect. So so I guess, it really doesn't matter in the end, because most of the people that are coming here aren't going to the trouble of getting notarized statements. You know, they're just rolling on in. And, that's a question, how many more millions are going to roll on in? And
well, I don't see any limit to it. It looks like the death of this country.
Well, if it ain't the death, it's certainly a transmogrification. There's a good word to use. Transmogrification.
Did I tell you about the property tax problem?
Well, Richard, you're going to have to hold that to tomorrow night, because we have a problem called the music, which is rounding out the hour. So you hold that thought to tomorrow night, Richard, and you call in. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper. We are wrapping it up already, a whole hour here. Stay tuned for a lot more good programming on the Republic Broadcasting Network at rbnlive.com and on shortwave at 5.050, 6.890 on single sideband.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.